The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hey, Jovial.
Hey, Jovial.
Well, it's been a couple of weeks, everyone. We thought we'd jump back on a couple of times, at least this week. There's going to be a broadcast on Wednesday. This is Tuesday. There's been so much to talk about. I do apologize if my audio doesn't sound great. We've had some technical issues, say the very least, to start today's show, which is why there's no Jimmy Brennan today. He joined us. He was all set to go. But for once, it wasn't Jimmy's technical issues. We actually don't know whose it was, but we had issues. But still, here we are. Sean's here, Dubsy's here, Craig is here, Wong is here, and last week I was away in this cottage with no connectivity, which was amazing, by the way. I recommend it. I know Dubs was too. Not the same cottage.
No, not the same one.
Not the same province, even. But you were absent. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Monsters good.
Once again, Dubs, what did you say back the first time we did this bit?
We have an announcement to make.
The on-screen chemistry goes beyond the screen. No, it doesn't. We hate each other, actually. But every time I went into town and got connection, I'd see these flashes pop on my phone about Infantino and FIFA and this proposed project, which was maybe happening and then not happening, and then Infantino was going to be let go. He's still in power right now. We had to touch on it. People have been asking us about this on social media. It's crazy. The whole situation is just crazy. A man, it seems, that has been drunk by power and just does things behind his compatriots' backs without any of them knowing about it. And it's not just this proposed, you know, splitting the revenues, forming a new company to sell off the rights to the World Cup and the Club World Cup. It's not just that. That's upsetting the UEFAs of the world and the CONCACAFs of the world and the executive committees of FIFA. It's the fact that they didn't really know about the Peace Prize. They didn't really know about the hydration breaks. It's all news to them, this stuff. It just happened. Because GM decides we're going to start making these sweeping changes to the game as we know it. And it seems that it's the straw that broke the camel's back, Dubs. Do you think he will be in power by is it November, I think it is, when you have
November
to announce whether November, when you need to announce whether you're going to run for another term or compete against Infantino for the FIFA presidency?
I think he will still be in power. So I think if anything, he's determined and stubborn and maybe blind to, you know, the powers that be outside of the presidential chair and those executive powers that he thinks he holds without due process and without democracy, right? Because you have to have approval of your member associations, 211, your confederations, and then also the FIFA council. But he seems to think that he can operate with impunity. And I think that stubbornness will allow him to maintain his seat, whether he has, you know, the backing and the support of these members associations. Like, he's made, plans, and he's made deals with Saudi Arabia's of the world, with the Qatar's of the world. You had UEFA, who I think were the strongest in their opposition to this plan, to basically sell off a stake of FIFA for commercial exploitation and for privatization. And the UEFA said the game's not for sale. And so you had backing also by CONCACAF, and you had the Asian Confederation that came out. But then slowly now, I think you're seeing support where he's made these deals or these backroom deals. So I don't think he's going to go away quietly. I think he's going to dig in his heels, and I think it's going to take a lot of efforts and concerted efforts by the rest of these confederations and the member associations to push him out. And can the next person, whether it's Victor Montagliani or somebody else, come in and work with everybody to understand that the game is not for sale, that this is a game that needs our support. And even though the commercial entity and the commercial possibilities of the game in order to grow it and to further develop the game worldwide, that should never be for sale. That should never be a stake that is given to a private enterprise.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, the bottom line comes down to, it doesn't matter what the public think or the media think, it's down to the members and the associations, and whether they think he's able to do it has nothing to do with anybody else. So if he has enough support, he'll stay in power. If he doesn't, he'll be ousted out, and people like Montagliani will be lining up to take over. But I'm not sure I'll see that. We'll see that happen. Prior to all this, I mean, certainly during the Vancouver thing, when all the 211 associations were there, they're well in support of them at that time. So I don't know if you can crush that quickly to over 50% in a short period of time, although it is possible.
Well, I mean, the fact is they don't vote as blocks per se. That does happen. But it won't be as if all the UEFA countries have to vote together unless they have a backroom deal in place. And right now it seems that UEFA's on the same side. It seems that CONCACAF's on the same side, which is interesting, right? Because everything I read says that there won't be a proposal from a potential candidate from Europe, but they're all kind of backing Vic Montagliani if it gets to that point. Now, what the leadership looks like at that point, I think that's a big part of this as well. What does the leadership look like, Wonga? Will it be a president with all this autonomy, all this power? I don't think it will.
Look, as much as I hate all of this, I love all of this. This is Game of Thrones in sports. This is backroom dealing.
Is it the Red Wedding?
Yeah, this is, and I just wanted to read a couple. I grabbed the biggest quotes, and I'm just going to, from Alexander Seferin, UEFA president: "There's a growing opposition against FIFA. The World Cup cannot be treated as an investment product." But I think the biggest indictment was from Kevin Lamour, FIFA chief operating officer, where he's saying, calling the proposal a project of one person, going back to unilaterally pushing this stuff through and then surprising everyone he works with. Like, it is so strange that he's, Sharon, we're hearing your squeaking, just so you know.
I know, sorry.
It's his joint.
But it's so weird how he played it. And this goes to an overblown ego, someone who hasn't had anyone, you know, there's one more, his senior advisor, Carlos Cordero. I know Dubs put a heart to it on Instagram, but he said overall succinctly called the privatization initiative a bad idea for football. And so he's not even talking to his main advisors. He's living in this like level in the sky that he hasn't checked. He thinks he's God mode. He thinks he's Thanos, right?
Yes. Have you seen all the other ones? I want to throw that in because I love Thanos. He's been tabbed as Icarus flying too close to the sun. Have you seen the memes as Gollum where he's crouched and he's holding the ball.
Yeah.
And then his own bollocks are touching the rock underneath him. Like, it's like, it should have been called Project Hubris, right? Because it's his own arrogance and his own kind of pride that got in the way. And the only reason this leaked is because he was surrounding himself with powerful people, celebrities, these FIFA legends who allegedly he was sending to meetings, right? It was JP Morgan that valued, I think, this stake, which was 21% of the commercial and the event assets, which obviously the World Cup would fall into, and it was valued at like $20 billion or something. But he's chattering about this because he's proud of it and like he sees it as growing the game, and it's not. And he would never have had the backing for it. But it's thanks to his own hubris that this leaked and it was halted.
I always think of this as early 2000s rom-com, Mean Girls, you know, like trying to get in with a group of people the Lindsay Lohan character finally does. So that's Giotti. She's finally he's finally with the popular kids, who is basically Trump and his group of American investors. He doesn't realize that he's getting torn into the dark side. And so I think if you watch Mean Girls and put a soccer ball right beside the TV, and then at the end, how Mean Girls works itself out, where they've all split, no one's friends anymore, and they have to go out and find their new way and find new friends. I think Mean Girls and Gianni Infantino and his story have a lot in common. That's all I'm saying.
You could be right.
Rachel McAdams, yes.
Yes, exactly. To see
this. And is the screenplay Regina by Tina
George.
Fey. Yeah,
Regina
as long
George.
As Tina Fey writes it, I'm
That's
there.
That's right, yeah.
To shape her head, right? I mean, are we though dismissing the fact that this deal, it's not so much the deal itself. I mean, let's not give UEFA a pass here. They're greedy as well, just like UEFA, just like FIFA is. But this deal would, Craig, have actually really helped a lot of really small nations. I think like 40 million, whatever, which would change a lot for those nations. Isn't that part of this that we shouldn't ignore? That, okay, perhaps you're still, someone's making a lot of money out of this, and his name is Gianni Infantino. The rumors were, the reports were, $30 million salary, more of a commissioner type role as opposed to a president. There's a difference, apparently. I'm not sure what it is. I love the way I'm talking into my mic here, even though the mic's not working. It's natural.
As an aside, Sharms, apparently he's very taken and almost fixated on the job of commissioner in the U.S. around NFL, around MLS, and how much money they make. Because he, what, makes $6 million a year?
Just the six, yeah.
Yeah, just the six. But he feels like that's dwarfed by what he potentially could be making. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's what it is, right? He's greedy. But there's a lot of greedy people in the world. And there's greedy people in some of these smaller nations too, Craig. But if you're telling, you know, someone ranked 200th in the world, a tiny little island, that, hey, here's an extra $30 or $40 million a year, you can see why he'd get their vote and why they'd be up for this.
Yeah. But is that money going to get that far down the chain, you know? Like, in reality, I'm not sure that would. I mean, how much money do they want to make? I mean, it's endless. They could, you know, monetize this thing even more than they already have. We just saw the World Cup that basically was monetized to the teeth. So I don't know if they how much more they can do. And then they're going to make, what, 11, 14 billion out of this World Cup. That's a lot of money to go around. And we have to decide whether this game is actually for the people or not, because it's heading to the direction of the 1%, because those are the only people that could afford tickets at this last World Cup. As good as it was, let's be honest, not many people could be afford even to attend those games. And that's a scary, scary thing.
I also want to say, Sharms, sorry, I've got the four ways you can remove Gianni Infantino. So I just wanted to give everyone that. And I also want to say, I missed you guys. Hearing Craig's voice, that was great. You sound great, Craig. Sharms, you sound like shit. So there's a motion of no confidence, an extraordinary Congress, and you need 1/5 of the FIFA's national members. There's suspension or ban by the Independent Ethics Committee. That goes to the adjudicatory chamber. And they have to hold him. That's kind of like a trial. Defeat in a presidential election. And that is where you have to nominate yourself or be nominated by November 18th. So that was where they're talking about Victor Montagliani, Canada's, leader of soccer for CONCACAF and vice president of FIFA. And then the last one would be, and this is what Dubs was referring to, voluntary resignation, which don't think it's going to happen. But that would be big on Kashi, or one of those things. Like, does he resign? Does he back? Does he feel chastened enough, Dubs? Sorry, I found a good word for it. Does he like hit on the nose with the newspaper and back away? And just because his statement, not even an apology, not a sorry in any of his statement, right?
Like, no. He said when he withdrew it, he scrapped the proposal after all the pressure. Because remember, it's only a little over a week ago that he had that 15-slide Instagram post saying that people should meditate on, you know, like their views and because the World Cup was an overwhelming success, right? So how things can change in a week. So he said that he, quote, listened carefully to all the views and realized the project, quote, created divisions of a nature that are no longer in the interest of the objective set out in the first place. So much for that.
Who's the first place? Who decides who the first place is, right?
He's blaming the people that are against him there, right? He's saying that that's their fault. They've caused this disruption. And there's nothing wrong with the plan itself. I mean, how he didn't read the room, the arrogance of the man blows my mind. Like I said before, it's not even about the, you know, privatization of our game, which, okay, isn't necessary because, as Craig mentioned, FIFA makes a lot of money. You don't need more investment in the game. There's so much money already in this sport. But the arrogance of the man to think he can just do what he wants without any repercussions really kind of just backs up everything we thought about him anyway. The fact now he's gone to Marco Rubio, he's going to meet with him yesterday, right, I believe, or was trying to get to Trump. Like, how is that going to make a difference? The World Cup's left the States now. Trump doesn't care about you anymore.
Right.
What is it? I read somewhere he was trying to push the fact that soccer can provide a soft power. Right? That's the term, a soft power in a country, just like Hungary used. And their dictator, until he was removed, I guess he wasn't a dictator. They tried that with, Orban?
He used
soccer and hooliganism and football as power, right? He's trying to essentially push that. Say, hey, Don, you can use this sport. It's not there yet in the States. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it just isn't. And now to be crawling back to this den of spiders. Save me now. Please save me, Marco. Get me a meeting with Donald. It's vile.
And if it's Rubio that he's going to for like the work on the ground, he can't move very quickly because he's in those shoes that Trump makes all of his yes men and his henchmen wear, right? Hey. So he has to shuffle around the room.
Whoa, what are these shoes? What are these shoes?
They're all the crappy dress shoes that Trump wears that he's making all of his, like his surrounding, his entourage wear. And they're like two sizes too big.
So,
like, we need him on the ground. No, we don't. He can't move very fast. His shoes are three sizes too big.
Form of old man Skechers. He's making everyone else wear them.
No, I wish they were Skechers and like slip-ons. You know, the ones that you don't need, like the shoehorn. Right.
I have to say, they're really tempting.
They're the opposite of that.
So he's making everyone. Is he really doing this?
Yeah.
He's making everyone wear the same shoes, so he doesn't stand out as an old idiot who can't walk. Yeah. Wow. Why am I saying wow? I'm not surprised at all.
I want those shoes. I want to be walking around in those shoes. Hey, you know, this is perhaps
shoddy business. Shoddy.
I think, once again, thank you, Gianni Infantino. The biggest FIFA own goal ever, if this works out the way we think about it, right? In 6 months, because it could still be 6 months, because November 18th is when you have to apply for the job. So if that's a Victor Montagliani, someone has to say, hey, we want you to run it. But then the vote is in March. So everyone understands the process, too. Right. I've been doing my homework.
UEFA is still threatening legal action, right?
Right.
The English FA withdrew its support for re-election. Mm-hmm. And what is really crappy to me is that Infantino has always put the onus on women. Remember, open the door and like step in to change. And like, but he put the onus on women, on us to enact the change, not him. Infantino is head of FIFA. And so with this threatening or the boycott that's threatened, it's the women's competition, starting with the U20 Women's World Cup in Poland in September. And then the U17 World Cup, both for young men and for young women, and then could potentially extend to the 2027 World Cup. But qualifications for that, from UEFA's standpoint, start in the fall. So all of this is on the line. And what suffers is, again, the women's game, which is taking a back seat to everything under Infantino anyway.
Well, maybe they need some private money.
I mean, listen, I'm not saying they don't need private, they wouldn't take private money. Of course they do. But it's just this investment, this sordid investment firm, which wasn't put out to tender. Here's the company. his is going to run it. That's not how you do business.
Well, especially when it's attached to the American president again, right? Because it's Jared Kushner's brother who leads the investment. Good old Josh.
And if
you do not ever, you can't trust a Josh. I'm just saying. Joshuas are okay, but Josh is full. Like, if there's a few out there, I'm sorry, you're untrustworthy.
But what if your friends just start calling you Josh? You prefer Joshua?
I'm telling you, they think badly of you.
Doesn't change you as a person. Because like Joshua Cloak, athletic, right? Great guy.
Joshua Cloak.
A lot of friends call him Josh. But if you look at his byline, it will say Joshua Cloak.
Right.
I think he prefers Joshua. Mm-hmm. So does that make Joshua Cloak untrustworthy?
Yes.
Shouldn't be. His reporting's not.
He just went by Josh Cloak. Thank you, Craig Forrest, for that backup.
Maybe, hey, Cloak, if you're listening, we trust you. I think the reporting is top notch.
Yeah, under Josh Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, that's pretty good. That'd be a great name of a blog, wouldn't it? Hey,
right, it would.
Cloak. You should do a blog under Cloak and Dagger. I'm sure he's thought about it at some point.
He's a double name guy. Josh Cloak. I think you say both. Which is
maybe
worthy than say like two first names is your first and last name, like a surname that could also be a first name, untrustworthy.
But is Josh Cloak trustworthy because he's using the name Josh?
I think he's trustworthy because he's Josh Cloak. Like he's always, I'm like, hi, Josh Cloak. I always say both names.
Right. Yeah. It does work that way. You're right. Back to the women's angle here. I mean, how will it affect them though? I mean, will it not bring more eyeballs maybe to that tournament? Don't you want to hear? I mean, Gianni loves to step up in front of a microphone. I doubt he'll do that for this tournament. But I'd love to say, you know, to watch him sit there and say, today we're all women. One of his favorite lines. Maybe he's saving that for the World Cup where I doubt he'll be in power for. So maybe in a weird kind of way, it might actually benefit the tournaments to get more eyeballs on them. What's FIFA's public stand going to be around these tournaments? Am I just hoping here?
I think you're hoping.
Yeah.
I think if he says that, you know, today we're feeling womanly or today we're all women, I'm sure he'd use the word vessels, wouldn't he? Women as vessels.
Today we're all menstruating.
That's right. We want the game to flow and the revenue to flow. I do want to mention, though, two women. So Laura McAllister, who's a vice president and then part of the governing body's 21-member executive committee, and then also Norwegian Football Federation president Lisa Klaveness, were two women who were at the forefront of the push, right, to start the stand and to say it was unacceptable. And it brought about the strong stance that was taken, firstly, by UEFA, who were first to come to the fore to say this is unacceptable.
Yeah, actually, I saw that just before we went to air today on social. Laura McAllister speaking about it, really well spoken.
Yes, on the Athletics podcast. Yeah, it was excellent. I just heard a blurb, but I'm going to listen to the whole thing.
I think, Craig, what makes this even more disingenuous is this is more than just a man who will probably lose his job. It's that we are now all questioning FIFA's role in football. And what that looks like going forward. Do we need FIFA?
Do we what?
Do we need FIFA?
Yeah, I think we do. I think you need a body that's overlooking everything and you just need one with transparency and honesty and have the game in mind and not the rest of the noise that goes along with it. We know that they need a lot of money to run their programs. There's a lot of programs that are losing money. But there's a limit to that, I think, and the possibility of selling our game off is just enough that I think the trust has been lost completely with Infantino. I don't know where we go from here. But I mean, it's just I can't imagine any honest association federation that would be thinking that he's at this point trustworthy. And I think that's probably the only way he'll go down here is if people are going to be morally in the right lane.
Mm. Well, he did say before all this kind of broke that he has 200 nations who would vote for this. 200.
Yeah, no, he didn't read the room, like you said, Charms. He doesn't seem like he has 200 nations because CONCACAF and UEFA, there's 100 right there, or 90.
Yeah. if they all vote under the same block.
Yes, right. It's funny, though, because I was just thinking, Craig, what Dubs was at, and I read it also, was he had sent FIFA legends to these meetings. And I'm wondering, surrounding himself, and you are a FIFA legend.
And Forrest is like, how come I wasn't picked?
Yeah. But no, but I think of it as, you know, at some point where they were people being players, former amazing players, being somewhat, and I'm not saying the word used, but being hoisted onto a larger stage so he could surround himself around these amazing legends that gives him authenticity while he was doing all this backroom dealing. Is that not a bad story? Like, this is literally from, you know, Billions or Succession. He was running this whole gamut of how am I going to play this? Let's start anew. Let's get a women on board to think of me as a savior. I'm the guy who elevates. And that's Dubs. You cannot hide your disdain sometimes. And it's amazing.
It's a problem.
It is.
It's a work in progress as I approach 49.
Once again, if you're watching on YouTube, you've seen it. You can rewind 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and see Dubs' face. But he was playing this game of chess and didn't realize he was losing. And, you know, there's a lot of movies, a lot of shows like this, but it, once again, this could be a movie, what he just did. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that he berated, like I would say, that 15-page PowerPoint, Dubs, he berated people, basically saying, you don't know, you're not smart enough, don't talk badly about the World Cup. Then he does this. Mm-hmm. This guy is, I'd vote for him now.
By the way, there is a FIFA movie.
Yeah.
And it goes right through bladder, I think, isn't it? I think
Was it
prior to bladder? I forget. It's actually very good.
What, the FIFA Undercovered?
It wasn't the documentary. It was actually a movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
About the forming, how they formed FIFA originally. It's quite interesting. It's FIFA produced and directed it. I believe it directed it. Although maybe Gianni directed it as well.
Yeah.
But
always trying to control the narrative, quite literally.
If I remember, it was quite good, though. Maybe I'm off base there, and it was actually terrible. Because when you think, FIFA produced this movie, it's obviously one-sided. But I got a feeling it was quite good.
No, if it was good, it wasn't Gianni, because we saw what he did with Rio Ferdinand on the... That he produced, that he directed. That was not great.
No, I heard he tried to go method. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
No, but like, Sharms, I just wanted to say, like, your question before, not necessarily about do we need FIFA, but about how maybe less powerful member associations where $20 million would be transformative. Right, in everything that they do in terms of development, but then also vaulting them up onto the world stage if they're on the outside looking in, even with this proposed 64 team World Cup in the next cycle, if that happens. But I mean, that was being bandied about between Trump and Infantino, even though it was proposed by CONMEBOL. But I think what it ended up being with this FFE and this privatization of the game and the game for sale is blackmail. Like, that's essentially what it was, is that you put the pressure on these smaller nations, these smaller member associations, where $20 million would absolutely revamp everything that they're doing. And it'd be really difficult to turn that down. So that's, in essence, what this is boiled down to. And I sent this a couple of days ago on the dark web, but it was Miguel Delaney on Twitter. He's an excellent follow, and I've read a couple of his books. His tweet was quite simple, and he said, the discussion should not be who the next FIFA president is, but how no president, and that includes UEFA, should ever have such power again.
And sorry, not to be a pedant, Dubs, but I think it's bribery, not blackmail, just saying.
Sure. Whatever word you want to throw out there, it has no place in a governing body, right?
So what is that next?
I appreciate that from pedant to pedant.
What does FIFA 3.0 or 4.0 look like then? Is it? I mean, they have got councils, executive committees that should wield power. And a lot of these guys coming out now saying, listen, we sit in these committees. We should be privy to all these conversations. So they are in place. It's just this guy's gone rogue. That's the problem. So yeah. Is it the system set up incorrectly, Craig? Or actually, is it correctly? It's just you've got to find a guy that understands the process.
Or a gal.
Oh, sorry. When I say guy, guys could be...
Well, I know.
I would love Laura. Hey, Laura, what's her name again?
Callister.
Callister. Boom. I like her a lot. Sorry. Great. Yeah. The process works, right? Or does it not work?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's an interesting take as the system sort of held up. I mean, maybe just about. But I think this is comes back down to the trust factor and the fact that this was done behind the scenes and try to be pulled off in a way that we've seen it is. Yeah, I don't know if he reads the room all that well. He makes some knee-jerk reaction decisions and opinions that have not been for the greater good of football.
Don't you think he planned this thinking that the World Cup was such an enormous success? And everyone knows it's an enormous success. And coming out of this, he's going to be the man, literally the savior of football. And he's got this other plan now in place. Look at me. You thought that was good? Wait till you hear about this. Mm. That, again, just screams of the fucking arrogance of the man to think that. All these politicians, he thinks are in his back pocket. But in fact, he's in their back pocket.
Especially if you don't have friends like you, bunch of clowns, to ground you, right?
Right.
If you don't have real friends, and I would argue this is the problem with some of the leaders in the world right now, some of the tech leaders, these guys don't have real friends. They're going, dude, you're out of bounds here. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. And you need to course adjust. And just because you have a lot of money, and I forget who said it, but it was about, finally, monetization didn't matter. And I forget who said it, but it was like someone saying, hey, we're finally to a place where it's not just about the money. The game's, the soul and the sanctity of the game is more important than money. And this, obviously, there's lines from UEFA that I'm stealing right now, but this, these statements, they were poetic, right? They were literally almost to a place where you could put them up as this is the mission statement going forward, right? You take that, whatever these, you combine them all into one and you say FIFA new mission statement. It's not just to grow the game, but to grow the game justly, fairly with, and without grift or any of the other criminality and corruption. Like maybe you need to say it out like that because you need safeguards.
Yeah, I think the great irony of this is that UEFA's coming out as the good guys. Hmm. They're playing it beautifully. They're playing it beautifully, aren't they? We're standing up, and so is CONCACAF, by the way, playing it beautifully. All those who thought that Vic was in bed with Gianni are now saying, oh, maybe he wasn't so much. Vic's also a very skilled politician. Mm-hmm. Well, let's not forget about that. He's playing this very well as well. And what an opportunity. When the whole world's throwing daggers at Infantino right now, you need someone to kind of stand up and say, we got this. Don't worry, guys. We got this, right, Craig? We're going to take care of this guy.
I can imagine the phone calls right now, like going around. Have I got your support?
Oh,
Tony, it's Game of Thrones with phones.
It totally is. It totally is. Yeah. And that's how this all operates.
It's House of Cards, right? It's House of Cards.
Yeah. Victor he's operated very well among the CONCACAF group for sure. And he's done a good job with CONCACAF. They've raised their revenue as well. There are some safeguards in CONCACAF that FIFA don't have. But the bottom line is, if you go with a football angle and you're that type of person, you got a chance of doing something, because at the end of the day, all the money and all the politicking are going on. If you get to the bare bones of it and you get to the, what do you want for football? I think that's where Victor Montaliani has a very good opportunity here, because he's played that line in CONCACAF and he continues to do it worldwide. And I've seen him in the room amongst all these 211 different countries, and he's well respected. Now, they also were going to vote for Gianni Infantino. But the point is he is well-respected, and he's in the room, and he knows absolutely everybody. And I've seen it for myself. I mean, Dan, you saw it as well in Washington. He's in the room with all the most powerful people, including Gianni, of course.
Yeah.
And he was never going to put himself and try to, you know, destroy Gianni. But certainly behind the scenes, if things change, I think the opportunity would come about that Victor would then have the opportunity and certainly want the job at this point, I would think.
Yeah, listen, in politics, friendships only go so far, right? You know, until there's an opportunity there. I do wonder, though, whether you need someone completely fresh, unconnected to the past regime, with fresh ideas, with fresh connections. You know,
wasn't that Gianni?
Yeah.
We thought he was the guy. And now Seth Blatter's on Twitter and all these different things. And he's actually making sense.
Moral high ground.
I know. But for those people saying, man, this, we wish we still had Seth Blatter, people's memories are very short. Mm-hmm. This guy was overtly corrupt, stealing money, right? And Gianni Infantino may well be corrupt, but it's more about greed and using the system to his benefit. Right.
Weren't the charges dropped on Seth Blatter, though?
Were they in the end? I can't remember now.
I mean,
I don't know. Isn't he banned from football still? Or is he back in there now? I don't know. It's on social media.
So he must be good.
Yeah.
He must be good now.
Yeah.
Oh, I think with Gianni, though, it's like a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me type thing where it's happened a number of times now where finally people are like, this is it now. Like you can't stay in power. But like I said, he's if he goes, he's going to go kicking and screaming. He's not going to do so kind of gracefully.
Okay, so let's play that game, Sharms. Mm-hmm. Let's play that game. Dubs is saying he's going to go kicking and screaming and fight it right to the end. Does that mean, Dubs, give me the scenario. Does he stand for election and go through all kind of that parliamentary democratic voting thing? Or does he see who's going up against him and then go, okay, I'm going to take myself off the ballot? Or does he stay all the way till March?
No, he stays all the way till March.
Okay.
Because Gregor? I still think there's some manipulation and there's some, he can still ingratiate himself and he can still spin things in his favor. Or he sees it that way anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I don't see him resigning, but we'll see. I think he goes all the way to March as well. But this all depends on all the phone calls and how much support he actually has.
Yeah.
Right. If he thinks he's got no chance, then he might try to take the road of resignation and
I'm going to leave it at Sharms to wrap this, like to wrap that question up. But I think he resigns. I think there's going to be too much pressure. And I'm not sure he resigns before November 18th. I think he takes maybe not a resignation, but takes himself off the ballot, if that's a resignation, but sees who he's up against. Because I think with him, it's about competition and politicking and all that kind of stuff. And he, once again, he doesn't have friends or he wouldn't have done this, right? So if he just surrounds himself with the same sycophants as that he had before, to Dub's point, sycophant. Thank you.
There's also psycho fans.
It's also really psycho crazy. Pants.
They're crazy. Macho yes, man. Yes.
Macho Man wore psycho pants. can't touch this. But I think Sharms, that's where I leave it. I think he sees who he's up against. He could last until the end, but I think he's going to walk away.
Yeah, I think that he's going to soon realize that all these yes men and women around him are going to be jumping like rats from his ship. And he's going to realize, I've got to still try and control the message here. I can do that by walking and framing it a certain way. And maybe, you know, having those backroom deals in place. Listen, I'll walk quietly if you don't throw me under the bus quite as horribly as you could. That's what I think. I think he's a rat too. I think he's a bit of a coward behind it all. Right? You know, like
next week's show, I'm trying to book Gianni Infantino.
Yeah, I know. But don't you I think so that's what I think will happen. But listen, you could well be right. You could just, you know, be one of those that just sticks it out to the very end, you know. I don't know. But yeah, I think he'll walk. And as far as who's next, it could be a very different FIFA they're walking into. It'll be fascinating because the minute, I think November will be fascinating. There's going to be a lot of names thrown into the hat there. Or drawn from the hat, thrown into the ring. You get the idea. There's going to be a lot, right? It's going to be, Victor's going to be the favorite, at least he is right now. But there's a lot of big power brokers in world football who'd love that job. And including ex-players. I mean, what is, hey, Craig, is Platini, is he allowed back in football now? Is he too tarnished? Probably too tarnished because he really wanted that job. He really wanted that job, right? He was done bad, according to him.
And that whole, you know, when they picked Russia and Qatar for the World Cups, Platini had his fingers all over that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's too late for him.
Yeah. Even when PSG took over, or the Qataris took over PSG, if you look at all that timing around them getting the World Cup and then taking over PSG, it was all related in that world of corruption to get the World Cups to Qatar. I mean, seriously, it's endless.
You thought it was getting better, right? And smoothed out. And, you know, FIFA was, it was cleaning its image there for some time. It really was. Mm-hmm. It all kind of began to spiral around this World Cup, didn't it? Sadly. Anyway, there's lots more to talk about this. And there's going to be more and more breaking news. This, the reporting's been outstanding, by the way, from the Ben Jacobs, the Martin Ziegler's of the world. There's others. The Athletic is the place to watch and to read, by the way. It's just been brilliant. Not here, certainly. We'll react. We'll react.
No, but not a lot of people have had Victor Montagliani as an interview subject as many times as we have. So if you wanted to go back in the archives, or we'll pull out a best of so you can actually listen to it. Also, shout out to Laura Bryan, who's going on a Footy Prime hike
and deep going dive,
a deep dive into our archives. So hilarious. Thanks, Laura. And a shout out to Ali Ahmed, right? Like, holy man.
Can we just what the injury is?
No, but like just hoping for the best, Ali. Like, hey, we're behind you. We hope it's not a serious injury. That's all.
Yeah. Well, it's not the coach, three letters.
It's what we last heard.
Yeah, exactly. Not the three letter.
There's lots to get in. Listen, we'll have another pod later this week. There's the Promised David rumors to Stuttgart. There's the Alistair Johnston to Everton rumors. Nico Segura's names making the rounds. Jimmy Knight LaBelle's off to Motherwell. Owen Goodman's to Dundee. LDF, he's making a lot of Fulham social posts right now, which is really good to see where he ends up. I want to hear from Jimmy too. Jimmy, we won't say where. Jimmy had a little short excursion over the weekend, and it's pretty cool actually. So we'll get Jimmy when we don't have technical issues and his TFC schedule allows. We'll talk about that. Larry Berg also announced as the new MLS commissioner, replacing Don Garber. Larry Berg's a great name for a commissioner, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Larry Berg. Larry Berg. Right? Like, that's commissioner's kind of name, isn't it?
It's true. Yeah. And like in his history, like with the other family, the Stein family, the Steinbergs, right? Of old in Canada.
Wow.
No, I'm just lying.
That was good. Again. The old grocery store.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Isn't he the NBA commissioner? Steinberg? Is the NBA commissioner?
He's the bald dude. Silver.
Silver.
He looks like, once again.
The guy before is Larry Silver.
David Silver. Was David Stern.
Sternberg.
Those Sternbergs.
But I have to say, Infantino, do you have to be like a bald megalomaniac to be a commissioner? I mean, there's some place in that. I know Goodell for NFL isn't, but maybe they should just go. I think that's the trope. Everyone should just hire and vote for the baldest, most evil-looking guy that could look like Lex Luthor. or something. Because that, yes. Yeah, you're going to end up evil. You're going to end up evil, right?
There's the also the guy replacing Gary Bettman. I think he's bald as well.
Mm. Craig, Craig, you got something to tell us?
I'm going to throw my name in a hat.
Or in the ring.
And then Jesper Sorensen. You hear Jesper Sorensen talking about the pitch at Vancouver? He goes, yes. What's the word he used? Some phrase, he was comparing his hair growth to the turf in Vancouver. I forget what it was now. It's quite amusing, though.
Oh, it had more bounce. My hair has more bounce.
More movement or more bounce or something, yeah. Yeah. It was great. Yeah, we'll get into that. All that and more on the next podcast. The broadcast tomorrow, Dubs.
Yep.
Want to give a little teaser?
Sure. Just wrapping the week's action in NSL and yesterday's match, which was the first ever in women's, not CONCACAF champions, Canadian championship. So it was both a league match and the quarterfinals for CanChamp for the women. So the first one, and it was a fabulous match between the Tides and the Ottawa Rapids. We'll wrap that and other matches and also additions in the summer transfer windows and what teams still need. And then a new segment that I'm going to tease right now, Butler's Bits and Bobs, which Shireen mistakenly saw, erroneously thought that I said Butler's Bits and Boobs. So we'll see where the segment takes us.
Which works great, which will get some complaints from certain members of the audience, but we didn't say it. You said it.
I know. I was just trying to...
Good for ratings.
Good bit of a racket. I don't know what I'm saying. Racket. Put it on the shelf. I don't know.
You know what, Dubs? I support it. I support it.
There you go.
Support. I like that. That's good.
See what we can cleave out of the discussion.
Will it be a theme tune for it?
What's that?
Will there be a theme tune for it? Like to introduce it?
A theme song?
Yeah, theme song.
Well, you'd have to tell JC to make one, I think.
I know. I mean, JC will be able to come up with something.
All right, listen, that's pretty prime. We're back. Kind of, we'll talk to you about our new schedule for the new season. But when does the season kick off a podcast? I'm not entirely sure. Probably when the
August 20th something. Yeah.
Around there, yeah.
20th, probably. I think. August 20th, I think. The Friday is the first match, that Friday match. Yeah.
All right. You know what? BetMGM is the place of soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime.
Make it legendary.
All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you so much. Cheers for listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Great set.